Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 8, day 4 of the study of Genesis. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Genesis chapter 39. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. If you're enjoying the podcast, I want to encourage you to check out the new YouTube channel where I've been creating short 5-ish minute videos with brief thoughts to encourage you from God's Word. A link to the channel is in the show notes. With that, why don't we go ahead and pray before we get started today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word is speaking to us today. Lord, touch us. Fill our hearts with your goodness and your gladness. Let us encounter you from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Genesis chapter 39, starting in verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in his house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. So even though Joseph has already had a bad run of it, and here we are, we're moving back into the storyline of Joseph now, after taking a brief aside in chapter 38 to look at Judah. And it's almost as if we're looking at this juxtaposition between the wickedness of Judah and his family line and the righteousness and the blessing over Joseph. I mean, Joseph is the only pure-eyed guy amongst the 11 brothers so far that we've seen of Jacob. Benjamin, there's not much spoken of him. He was still very young at this point. But the Lord is with Joseph, and Joseph is a faithful, righteous man of God. And so everything that Joseph is doing, the Lord is blessing amazingly. I mean, the Lord is on Joseph's life so much that even Potiphar realizes normal people aren't this good. Potiphar's like, I've had lots of servants. I know lots of people, and people are not this good. There is something on your life. And I'm sure he's asking Joseph, what is it about you? How come everything you do touches to gold? I mean, Joseph has Midas's touch here. And I'm sure Joseph tells him, hey, it's the Lord. And it could be the kind of thing where Potiphar's like, I don't know about that. I've worshiped the gods of Egypt and all this kind of stuff. I've never gotten anything out of that. I've never seen anybody else get anything out of it. But there's something on him, and he can't deny it. And so finally, even Potiphar's like, man, whatever it is, your God, my God, whatever it is, the hand of the Lord is on you. And he's blessing everything you do. So Potiphar's like, I give you everything. Everything he has. The only thing Potiphar's doing, I mean, you know, he's basically, you know, Potiphar is not even watching after his books. That's the point of what it's making here, is the only thing that Potiphar concerned himself with was what he was going to eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. He's not even watching after the books. He's not watching after how Joseph is managing all of his money. And that's exactly what he's doing. He's managing his finances, his business, everything. That's how much trust Potiphar was able to put in his slave. Joseph is in bondage. He is a slave here, and he's that trustworthy. A slave who is sold for barely lunch money. And that's how faithful Joseph is. One of the lessons we can learn from this is no matter what place we find ourselves in, to be faithful and honest, and to operate with integrity. That is one of the highest and loftiest goals that as men and women that we can attain, that we would, in any station in life, behave with honesty and integrity and do the very best that we can. When we do it unto the Lord, he blesses us. He really does. And very often he blesses those around us. I've been in many situations myself where, you know, I was an employee of large companies and had the opportunities in certain moments to make them fabulous amounts of money, either to make them fabulous amounts of money or to save them fabulous amounts of money. And the favor of the Lord was on me. And I didn't get to taste any of that money, but I was happy just knowing that the favor of the Lord was on me to be able to provide for that company. Being in that position, it really does open people's eyes to the Lord. It really does. And Egypt is going to have its eyes open to the Lord like never before. Continuing on to verse 7. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. Or verse 6. Now 7. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." Now, if this had been Judah or Reuben or any one of the other brothers, they might have been like, "Heck yeah." But Joseph's not that way. Joseph, again, has honesty and integrity. Verse 8, but he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he's entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you're his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. I mean, Joseph's not dumb. He's like, he didn't even want to be around her. This is so uncomfortable. Everything about this, she's insistent on this. And so Joseph just starts avoiding her. He won't be in the same room alone with her. He's doing everything in his power to avoid even the hint of something going on. You know, he doesn't even want anyone to think that it's going on. I think he's seen a little window into this woman's soul and he doesn't trust her, rightfully so. He's already been down this road once. He knows what happens when people get irritated with him. They don't get what they want, and then he's caught in the crosshairs. He knows what it's like. So he's trying his best to stay out of the way instead of trouble, but it's not going to work. Verse 11, one day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. He didn't see it coming when he walked in. She set all of this up, and he didn't see it coming. Verse 13, when she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew has brought us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story. "That Hebrew slave that you brought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and I ran out of the house." You know, it's not clear whether or not whether or not they knew what was going on. Maybe she had been clandestine enough to where they would see her kind of lean in and flirt with Joseph and get close to him. And maybe they thought, well, maybe something's going on, or Joseph's, you know, getting a little fresh with her or something like that. And so it's not clear whether they knew or not, but the outcome is going to be very clear. Joseph is about to suffer his second devastating false accusation that's going to land him in the midst of hell on earth. I mean, a second time. Again, like I said a few days ago on the podcast, no one ever would have chosen for themselves the path that Joseph is on. The Lord feels it's necessary for him to walk down this path because of what the Lord's going to put in his hands. But nobody in their right mind would have ever chosen this path for themselves. False accusation can be a bear to live through. It's terrible. And sometimes, especially when those people making those false accusations, they have some level of authority, or they have the people around you that they're going to believe that person instead of you, which is the case here. In the case of Joseph's older brothers, they physically had the authority over him, and then they sold him in slavery. And now no one's going to believe Joseph because this word is coming from Potiphar's wife, and there's so much emotion involved with that. Potiphar's going to throw him in jail. Part of me wonders if Potiphar, at some point after he calmed down, wasn't like, I know my wife well enough to know that maybe it wasn't so much Joseph. Maybe it was really her. This is not the kind of woman that does this once, more than likely. Verse 19, when his master heard the story his wife told him, saying, this is how your slave treated me, he burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. This is amazing and tragic all at the same time. Joseph knows that this is false accusation. I mean, he cannot possibly have a guilty conscience. Maybe he's kicking himself over and over. You know, he's languishing in prison here, and he's kicking himself, thinking how stupid he was to have not asked for a transfer or something just to get away from Potiphar's wife. He's got to be thinking and replaying those moments in his mind, thinking, what could I have done differently? What could I have done better? And probably coming up empty constantly. He's like, I don't even know what I could have done differently. He's probably thinking about his brothers, like, what should I have done differently there? He probably can't come up with any good answers. Maybe he's got some ideas, but in the end, they're all wrong because this is, again, a setup from the Lord. The Lord is using these bad circumstances, wicked people. He's using these things to move Joseph exactly where he wants him. In this prison, this jail that Joseph is going to be in, it's exactly the place that the Lord wanted him to be in for exactly the right time. But what's difficult to read when we look through the story is how long Joseph was a slave and how long he was a prisoner. I'm sure Joseph, as he's seeing the Lord bless him in everything he does, he realizes, I'm in charge of all of the king's, Pharaoh's prisoners. I'm in charge of this prison, but I'm a prisoner myself. Like, the Lord has blessed him as a slave, and now the Lord's blessed him as a prisoner. And I'm sure that's got to be so painful for Joseph, thinking, if I could have done this, what could have my life have been worth if I had been given a chance to do something greater? Joseph knows that the Lord's with him, and he knows he's capable. And being stuck in this prison, it's got to be one of the most painful experiences of his life, knowing that whatever the Lord has gifted him in, it's wasted in prison. So often when the Lord takes us on these kinds of journeys, that's what we have to live through. As we see waste. We don't understand what the Lord's doing. You know, when the woman came and broke her alabaster jar full of perfume that was worth a year's wages and rubbed it on Jesus' feet, all the disciples and the Pharisees were very quick to say, what kind of waste is this? But loudest of them all was Judas. This money could have been sold. This perfume could have been sold and the money given to the poor. What a waste. But the Lord doesn't see things on the same time scale that we do. The Lord is looking at us through the eyes of eternity. And all we can see is our very, very short lives here on earth. And it's hard. Because it's so hard for us to have eternal eyes. It's so hard to trust the Lord that he sees better than us. Because we can only see what we can see. As they say, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And so it's really difficult. But you know, the Lord knows that. I'm sure that Joseph had many a pouty days in prison, many a pouty day under Potiphar's house over what had become of his life. I mean, he is the son of Jacob, grandson of Isaac, great-grandson of Abraham. He knows who he is. He knows what the Lord's promised to he and his people. He knows what he should be inheriting. And here he is in prison because of jealousy and false accusation. And that's hard. What about you? Have you experienced things like that? Do you find it difficult to trust the Lord in the midst of that process? Because he's good. If you find yourself in that place, it can be hard, but the Lord is good. Can you turn your heart and trust him fully with where he's leading you? I pray that we can. Well, that's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I really am glad you joined me. As always, I do appreciate when you leave a review on iTunes or any other place that you listen to this, forward it on to other people. It really does help other people find out about this podcast, and there's new people tuning in all the time, and I pray, my prayer is that they will become fascinated, that every one of us listening, myself included, will become more and more fascinated with God because we become more and more fascinated by his word. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.